The First Nations Renewable Energy Alliance is barely 1 month old, but already it's promising big things. The Alliance wants to build not just sustainable energy sources, but also a sustainable economic future for remote Aboriginal communities. Gilar Michael Anderson is convener of the Sovereign Union and head of state of the Yuwalia People's Republic. I asked Gilar how the Alliance came about.
Well, by accident, actually. We attended that Community Renewable Energy Conference in Melbourne. We were invited to attend. Aboriginal people from different parts of Australia, both young and old. And as we were listening and listening to people make their presentations, you know, we thought, well, here's an opportunity to sort of say, to tell the, you know, this 400-plus mob that we Aboriginal communities, the remote areas of Australia, are at the end of the power line.
And at the end of the power line, bills are expensive. In some communities, quarterly bills are as high as $3,000. For a low-income family, this is nearly everything. Gilar says these expenses are just part of the cost of living so far from amenities.
In order to have these luxuries, I guess, it's costing them a lot of money on top of that. The government ordered that certain massive big water heaters be put into the houses, turned up fully, which doesn't necessarily work off the off-peak systems out there. The very costly air conditioners, because Australia is a very dry country and very hot country, and because you have to travel a long way for food, a lot of people spend money on buying nice, decent-sized freezers and fridges to house their food, so they're not having to sort of go off on a 300-kilometre visit to buy food.
Not only are these energy sources costly, but according to Gilar, they're not very reliable either.
Anything that goes wrong, if it's going to go wrong, it will go wrong. You know, we accept that, yes, it's very expensive. But at the same time, we are entitled to be serviced from those power grids. It's basically a fundamental human right.
But building your own energy source comes with its own set of expenses. The Alliance plans to use partnerships with private enterprise to fund renewable projects in remote communities, including 360 Energy, who use Tesla lithium batteries for solar energy storage.
Because they see, you know, they will own the assets in conjunction with the Aboriginal people, and not only that, we'll be feeding into the main grid system, and so there is quite a handsome financial return, actually, on them servicing, generating power from the opposite end. So it is a profitable business, and of course, people see the merit in it and are very interested.
However, with profit comes risk. Turning the renewable energy projects into an investment could also leave remote communities exposed to the pitfalls of the market, things like dodgy investors and fluctuating energy prices. Gilar says this project isn't for anyone who's only looking to make a quick buck.
We will not gauge in partnership with any other potential company who wants to invest if they cannot maintain it over a period of, you know, 25 years. We need longevity here, and we need insurance that the people are not going to be let down after people invest, get their money back, and then run and leave the people with a dead utility.
The Alliance's ultimate plan is for Aboriginal communities to eventually buy out investors and own the power systems themselves.
When they build it, the people become part owners. You know, profit-sharing arrangements actually return back into the company. And so the original shares in that will, in fact, go towards buying business outright.
This part, and eventually total ownership of power supplies, gives communities an economic independence Gilar believes will benefit everyone living and working in the outback.
All up financially, it's securing remote Aboriginal communities, also other farmers, mining industries as well, who are working within the area will all benefit.
Securing Aboriginal communities means more than just earning money. Kat Katai is a lecturer with the Faculty of Engineering at the University of Technology, Sydney. She says it's forward-thinking projects like this that can make a significant difference to the lives of people in the remotest parts of Australia.
I like it because it is a way forward. We really need to get more of the community understanding, and, you know, having a solar panels near you, start to get a feel for what's going on, rather than just, oh, it's the power's out there somewhere in some remote station.
Kat has worked on renewable energy schemes in remote Aboriginal communities. She believes that being able to make active decisions about where your energy comes from makes people more emotionally invested in the future of a community. This positive approach to self-determination could also have a ripple effect in other areas.
It's not just a protection of the earth, it's protection of the people. That affirmation is very helpful. Of course, remote communities also dealing with a lot of violence. The intervention was claimed to be dealing with this, but unfortunately it doesn't deal with the issues such as the truck drivers through remote towns. It's not necessarily the Aboriginal community that's engaged in this violence. So it's not just renewable energy, but they present it as, well, this is our positive approach. This is what we're doing to make things look better.
The First Nations Renewable Energy Alliance is following the example of the Indigenous Clean Energy Network in Canada. Like in Australia, Kat says the Indigenous Energy Network also grew out of dissatisfaction with the government's management of energy and reliance on fossil fuel resources.
It's always helpful to know you're not alone in the world, and there's other Indigenous groups doing their work. They've got a very strong movement around the tar sands campaigns in Canada, where the environment is being really badly destroyed by mining of oil from the tar sands. The people, of course, they're in communities that are very disadvantaged and very few resources. Basically, the miners want them to move out. They're now setting up their renewable energy systems in this work.
But while the Canadian Indigenous Clean Energy Network has received financial support from the government, amounting to $715 million over 11 years, the First Nations Renewable Energy Alliance is looking to go it alone. For Gillar Michael Anderson, this is what makes it so exciting.
The potential to get into commerce industry and business industry for Aboriginal communities on such a scale is quite striking, and the fact that it works for Aboriginal communities because we don't have to destroy nature as most of the other big generation power generators do.